Well, the first nine chapters of 1 Chronicles, and you got a little bit of the taste of it there, didn't you, in the scripture reading, contain one list of names after another. But right in the middle of these lists, there's a short description about a unique individual. I want you to meet him tonight. The only place, actually, we read about him in the entire Bible is in these two verses. So only two verses in the whole of scripture. Yet something was so special about him that the writer, most likely Ezra, inspired by the Holy Spirit, felt he needed to let us know about him. So what was so special about him to merit such a mention with all of these names that he stands out? Well, the commentator Campbell Morgan says this. He says, while through these genealogies, and indeed through all the history, we are occupied with those connected with government and the procession of events leading to universal issues, it is refreshing to be halted by the story of one man who took his need directly to God and obtained the answer of God's grace. And tonight we're going to see Jabez's position, we'll hear Jabez's petitions, and then we'll finally see God's pleasure with his prayer. So let's first of all look at Jabez's position. We see, don't we, in verse 9, that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. That's not a promising start, is it, for Jabez? We know nothing of him, really, other than what is recorded here. But in these verses, we can unpack, actually, quite a bit about him. With a bit of wordplay, Jabez's mother names him after the suffering that had been going on in her. And the name Jabez in the Hebrew is associated with pain or sorrow. It's Jabez, sorrow or pain. And for some reason, probably surrounding the circumstances of his birth, his mother named him this. And because of the strong importance of the idea of a name in ancient Hebrew culture, they were so important, weren't they, names which were given to Hebrews. So poor Jabez, this idea of sorrow and pain was connected to him very personally, wasn't it? Especially when he would have been growing up. But instead of being bitter or trying to change his name to something like love or peace, which would have been much better, Jabez does the right thing, doesn't he? He turns to the Lord and he asks God to bless his life. Jabez's mother's negative naming of her son shows to us, it's a reminder, isn't it, of how often the present can often colour our thoughts of the future. I wonder if you're down tonight and things are going off in your life and you're wondering, you can't see the wood for the trees and you feel like there's a big cloud over you. Well, that's how Jabez's mother felt at this point. Our judgments can so often be biased, can't they? Often warped, if you like, by our circumstances. And I think we can safely say, can't we, that the mother evidently didn't feel much of a mother's joy that should have been there. And she looked upon her infant, sadly, with forebodings and fears. And how ready are we to give the name Jabez to circumstances which, could we but look into God's purposes, are working for our good according to God's promises for our lives. This was the experience of Jacob. He went through a lot, didn't he? And there was a time in his life when he felt that everything was going so disastrously wrong as one trial after another fell to his lot. And this is what we hear him saying in Genesis 42, 36 to his sons. He's already lost Joseph and he says, you have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin. All these things are against me. That was what he was saying. Everything's against me. Nothing's good in my life whatsoever. And yet nothing could be so further from the truth, because God was all the time working and blessing to secure the safety of Jacob's family and reunite him with Joseph. There was greater joy ahead for all of them in ways that they had never, ever imagined at all. What was ahead for Jacob? He thought it was the end, didn't he? Everything was against him. But he was about to be reunited with Joseph. He wouldn't lose Benjamin. There was to be a wonderful family reunion. And God was looking after his family in Egypt, where Joseph was now the prime minister. What joy was ahead. And yet Jacob, in his experience, thought all was lost. And you know, sometimes that can be true of us too. We can feel that everything is going against us, and especially when we're facing trials and disappointments and challenges. And yet, when we feel like that, often in reality, God is working to bring great blessings. I wonder if you can look back, like myself, on times in your life when things were quite dark and you were wondering what was happening, but you look back on them now and you think, yes, praise the Lord, God was really working for my good here. Something really good came of those circumstances. And often those dealings of God, who is so good to us, isn't he? We often think they're sorrowful dealings at the time, but they always stand us in more real stead and do us more good than the brightest and happiest that could ever come our way. The hymn writer William Cowper knew that, didn't he? And he was able to say this from his experience. He says, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. And if the mother had lived to see how blessed and honourable her son Jabez had become, she would have regretted her naming him as being sorrow and seeing the goodness of a God that we can always trust. God reigns. He's sovereign in everything. He works for the good of those who love him. That's a promise, isn't it, in Scripture? And initial hardships can often lead to greater joy in the future. That was certainly true of Jacob. And the biblical illustrator writes and says this: let us neither look confidently on what promises best, nor despairingly on what wears the most threatening appearance. God often wraps up the withered leaf of disappointment in the bright purple bud, and as often unfolds the golden flower of enjoyment in the nipped and blighted shoot. In Jeremiah 29:11, we have one of the most loveliest of promises. It's a declaration of care for you and for me and for every believer. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And that's what God would say to us this evening, especially if you're going through hard times. But what does Jabez do? Well, he cries out in all the pain for deliverance, and he lets it lead him closer to God. He casts all his care on the Lord. He trusts God completely. And in his life, he anticipates good results from whatever circumstance he might find himself in. He had nobility of birth, no nobility whatsoever to distinguish him from his brothers. In that respect, he was just on a level with them. But the scriptures tell us that he was more honorable than his brothers because he called upon the God of Israel, the one true God. And God will always honor those who honor him. And a person whose soul never calls, never cries, never looks, never waits upon God is not living at all. And so that was Jabez's position. But secondly, we hear Jabez's petitions, and they can teach us so much about prayer. But there's a marked contrast, isn't there, between the mother and the son that we need to recognize first of all. Jabez's mother allowed pain and sorrow to shape her life, really. But Jabez's earnest prayer life and his devotion and reliance on God enabled him to transcend his challenging circumstances. If you've come here tonight with heartache and pain in your life, regrets, and you don't think that your life can ever be changed, or listen to the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an invitation for you tonight from Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's true, isn't it, that the bruised reed, and there are many bruised reeds, perhaps you're feeling like that tonight, battered and bruised by the scars of life, that the bruised reed our Savior will never break. And he invites you to come to him. As he says himself, he is gentle and lowly. Softly and tenderly, Jesus always calls us, doesn't he? And do you remember how tenderly the Lord dealt with the woman at the well? She had a life of great disappointment, didn't she? A life that was marred by broken relationships. And yet the Lord went all of the way out of his way. He said, I've got to go through Samaria. He had a personal appointment with her. And he met with her and spoke to her about the living water. And he knew all about her. He knew all about her sin. And yet he was so willing to forgive her. And how about the woman? Well, she left a water pot, didn't she? A symbol, really, of those broken systems that she tried to satisfy her soul with those relationships, all of them that had failed. And she leaves her water pot and she runs, doesn't she, back into the town and says, come and see a man who told me all I ever did. Is that your experience? Could you run into Ashbourne tonight and say, come and see a man here in the church who told me all I ever did? It's wonderful, isn't it, what Jesus can do for each one of us. But as we think about pain in the mother's life, we think about pain in our own lives, but that's nothing, is it, compared to what Jesus came to do. He took upon himself our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. And he exchanged a crown of glory in heaven for a crown of thorns, those thorns represented our sin, didn't they? And they were placed upon his lovely head, a head that was pure and sinless, from a life that was so gloriously lived, a sinless, perfect life in communion with his heavenly Father. And yet he was so willing to bear our pain. Listen to the hymn writer who says, glory be to Jesus, who in bitter pains poured for me the lifeblood from his sacred veins. Grace and life eternal in that blood I find. Blessed be his compassion, infinitely kind. Jabez sought to rise above his past, which was marked by the pain associated with his name. And he turned to prayer, and prayer changes things, doesn't it? Prayer more so changes us, doesn't it? And part of growing in life is learning to pray for the right things. And that's what Jabez can show us this evening. It's all about finding out what God wants in our lives. And so we look at his prayer now. Jabez had four basic requests in his prayer. Let's quickly look at them. First of all, his first request was, bless me. Verse 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Jabez wanted the fullness of God's blessings upon his life. He knew what he needed from God, and he wasn't afraid to ask for it. He prayed for spiritual blessings that would produce real effects rather than superficial or material gain. So this is no health or wealth prayer, far from it. This is a spiritual prayer for spiritual blessings. And God wants to bless us, dear friends, right now with the spiritual blessings that we need in our lives through the circumstances that we find ourselves in. and God's riches of grace. They're so great that he has a storehouse just waiting to be given to all those who ask for them. But he wants us to ask, doesn't he? And do we ask the Lord for blessings? Is it at the heart of our prayer? Well, what an encouragement we have from the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And so whatever circumstances surrounded his birth must have been very traumatic for Jabez's mother to give him such a name. But Jabez, he wasn't going to let that define him or shape his life, was he? I'm sure, no doubt, his name was cause for embarrassment when he was young and through his childhood. But somehow, in spite of all that, he realized that that God could bless him. And if God poured out his blessings upon him, he could rise above all of that. And so that was his first request, bless me. But second was enlarge my territory. We see in verse 10, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. And this particular prayer of Jabez about the enlightenment of his territory or coast and God being with him sheds a light, really, on the time in which he lived, because Jabez lived soon after the settlement of the people in Canaan and before they'd taken complete and full possession of the different lots of land. If you look at the book of Joshua, it's a real disappointment because the people were encouraged to take the land that God had given them, and they were so content just to stay where they were in the comfort zones. And so they'd settle in a part of Canaan, but God had given them much more. But they just settled for an easy life, really. And they didn't go out and possess the land as Joshua inspired them to do. He really had to reprove them for sitting down contented too soon and not entering into the fullness of all that God had promised for them in the promised land. We can be like that too, dear friends, can't we? They talk about too much ease in Zion, don't they? We can often be content, but you know, it's exciting, isn't it, that God has a plan for each of our lives. And the most important thing in our lives is, are we living in that plan? Are we in God's will right now? Are we being the people that God wants us to be? That's what Jabez wanted. He really wanted that. He was in praying for his borders to be expanded. He's asking the Lord to give him more influence in the world, because he was a man who was not content to dwell in his comfort zone. Far from it. He wants to break out and do more and more for the Lord. It was all about living large for God. And is that's a challenge to you and me, isn't it? Are we living large in 2025 for God? Bruce Wilkinson has written a whole book on the prayer of Jabez, and this is what he says about that. He says that no matter what your vocation, the highest form of Jabez's prayer for more territory might sound something like, O God and King, please expand my opportunities and my impact in such a way that I touch more lives for your glory. Let me do more for you. You know, when we have our quiet times in the morning every day, at the start of every day, we should be praying, shouldn't we? Lord, I want to make a difference in the lives of people, and I want to reach all that I can. That should always be our prayer, shouldn't it? And do we have that desire that Jabez had for increased opportunities to serve and glorify God? Our Savior's done so much for us, hasn't he? He laid down his life. He bought us with such a price. And, you know, it's so important, isn't it, that we submit our lives to God's will. And it's important to remember that when we wish to enlarge our territory, what comes with it is an enlargement of our hearts. That needs to happen too. It's all about holding sweeter fellowship with the Lord Jesus, taking in greater fields of faith, of holiness, of patience, of humility, of being filled with all of those Christian graces that God wants us to have. Charles Spurgeon said, "The truest enlargement is to have more grace, more holiness, and more love to Christ." Well, may that prayer be ours constantly through our daily lives, that we grow in grace and achieve the things for Jesus that only we can do. You know, I love that, singing that hymn, because it's so true, isn't it? There's a work for Jesus that only I can do. We're all unique. We've all got different gifts, and it's so important that we're living large for God and doing everything that is in his plan for us and with the gifts that he's given to us. It's being more alert, isn't it, to people around us and being ready to give a reason for the hope which is within us to people that we meet, work colleagues, neighbours. It's being aware of people who are suffering. We can quite often be so wrapped up in our lives, can't we, that we miss opportunities for kindness and love. Walking past a homeless person that we could witness to, or seeing somebody stood at a bus stop crying and not noticing, all these things, they're opportunities, and we need God to open our eyes and be ready and to enlarge our territory. His third request in prayer was that your hand would be with me. And Jabez here recognizes it was a full necessity, really, that God should be with him. He couldn't have his territory enlarged without God's guidance, his protection and strength in all that he does. Spurgeon says that it's right for the Christian to seek enlargement, but let him always couple it with the next petition, that thine hand might be with me, for growth without God's presence is perilous. Jabez knew that the battle is the Lord's, and we can do nothing, can we, without the Holy Spirit. But if God is with us, then we can do all things. And it's like Jabez, we need to look for the Lord's hand to be upon us and to rely on him in whatever we do for him, that he would be with us. His final request was, protect me, he says, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Now, here was a man who not only recognized that he was living in a sinful world, as the world, as the devil there, his enemy, but he was also conscious of his own flesh as well. We not only live in an evil world, but we have a sinful nature, don't we? And Jabez, whose name was Pain, the last thing that he wanted to do was cause pain to other people. He was aware, you know, an unkind word could be said, that could cause pain to someone. And so his prayer was that sin would be kept away, that God would be so very close to him. And prayer was a great part of his defense. And it's so important for us, isn't it? It's Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We should pray that every day, shouldn't we? Because when God begins to bless and your territory is enlarged, the enemy will attack. And Bruce Wilkinson shares this from his own experience. He says, along with many others, I've discovered that the one time I'm in particularly in need of this part of Jabez's prayer is when I've experienced a spiritual success. Paradoxically, that's when I'm most inclined to hold a wrong and dangerous view of my strengths. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 gives us a warning. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Jabez didn't want to cause pain for others, and he didn't want sin to come into his life and rob him of the fellowship with the God that he loved and adored so much. And it's so important for us, isn't it, to examine ourselves on a daily basis and ensure that nothing is standing in the way of us receiving blessings and power from God. So we've seen Jabez's position. We've heard his petitions, his prayer. How did God respond to that as we draw to a close? Well, it was God's pleasure, wasn't it, to grant him what he requested. God saw the attitude of this man's heart, and he was delighted to answer such a simple prayer. And it's a reminder to us, isn't it, that the purpose of prayer is not to get what we want, but to receive what God wants for us. James 4, verse 3 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And we've seen with Jabez that God will honor those who honor him. And he was so connected with God, Jabez, that whatever he was praying for was actually God's will anyway. He was praying with a pure heart, and his motives and his life was pure, and he wanted what God wants. And is that true of us? Do we genuinely desire the presence and power of our God? Do we desire to live in a way that pleases him? Our Lord Jesus said in John 15:7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Is there a desire in our hearts for more? Do we want to see God move among us in great and mighty ways? I'm sure we do. Well, if so, we need to come like Jabez and ask God to keep his hand upon us and enlarge our territory. And we have a lovely promise from 1 John 5:14. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." That was true of Jabez. That will be true of us if we pray according to his will. Well, may we too, like Jabez, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, always seek God's blessing, his presence, his power in our lives, and have the confidence to know that God will hear our prayers to be everything that he calls us to be. Amen. Well, our closing hymn we can sing as a prayer. It's number 830. This was true of Jabez, wasn't it? I'm sure he could have sung this out of his own experience. "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." Number 830.